Chapter 20 Flight. He realized as soon as his feet left the ground that the Geffen thing could easily follow him. Had it not been he who had instructed Udo in the use of the godskin? Hadn't Udo seen the Geffen thing bound through hell in the very same way? He imagined the man, or creature, whatever he was, some distance behind, soaring in his direction like a hawk, talons outstretched. Perhaps flying faster than Udo himself. He might have shoved harder with his own legs to overtake his target. Udo thought of the falconers back in Erda and how their feathered weapons would come plummeting down from the cloud layer in which they'd been hiding, falling straight to ground like a missile, wings tucked, knives extended, screaming soundlessly until, in an explosion of feathers, it impacted the pheasant like a catapult stone. Now bound within each other, turning and turning, falcon flapping clumsily to control the fall, and pheasant offering whatever struggle it could through shattered spine. Down, down, down. He wanted to look behind himself, but some principle of the godskin's inner workings, the very same that guided his muscles in the execution of straight and level flight, warned him that to do so was to court disaster. Small movements quickly grew to insurmountable momentum when flying through the pits of hell. He must employ only those contractions which accounted for over or under turn, and so position himself to absorb the landing with his legs. The slightest error would see him crashing directly to the rocky ground with his back, perhaps his shoulder, or worse, his head. He felt the prickling of sweat along his skin. "He's back there," he insisted to himself. Then a moment later, "No, you moved too quickly." And shortly after that, "He must be back there. You mustn't rely on poor reflexes. If anything about that creature truly is Geffen, you have to account for near inhuman reflexes. He was a master. You must move as soon as you land." Udo waited. He'd jumped leftwise in relation to the pit. Through the corner of his right eye, he glimpsed the valley center drifting, a dark hole at the middle of a soft blue field. He began to second-guess himself as he drifted. "Maybe you should have just aimed straight for it," he thought. Then he discarded the notion. The Geffen thing might have expected him to make for that escape, assuming he had expected Udo to flee at all. Then again, maybe going for the center was the right thing to do after all. He might have landed there several moments before pursuit arrived, might have been able to escape down the center before capture. Another thought occurred to him, something that made his insides chill down to dead fish meat. What was it that made him believe there was a center to escape through? Only what the Geffen thing had told him? How much of what he'd been told could be trusted? For that matter, how was he supposed to escape this place without his guide? How much longer would the godskin sustain him? Its powers were limited, according to what he'd been told. Udo grimaced. He supposed that information was suspect as well. "God damn it, Geffen," he muttered. "When did they get you?" He considered a time in his life when he'd proposed to protect his friend from the dangers of war and sneered at his own arrogance. "Protect him from the war. Better you should have protected him from being your friend." Udo sensed he'd begun his descent toward the floor. He was impressed, despite his many fears. He hadn't expected to travel so far. He must have really put some strength into that leap. Slowly, as slow as creeping death, he cautioned himself. He lowered his head, tucking chin to chest as carefully as he could to avoid fouling his position. Then he swung his head backward, as if tossing hair away from his eyes. It was enough to impart a backspin so that his body began to reverse position for landing. Halfway through the rotation, he tucked his chin again, absorbing the momentum he'd created, and arresting the turn until he was falling feet first toward the floor. Any further adjustments required were minor. He executed these with his arms alone, moving them fore and aft of his body to hone the angle to a fine cutting edge. "You must grip everything when you land, with your hands and feet, even your shoulders, elbows, and knees if necessary. Everything must be seized, but don't hold on. Only a quick snatch at the rock or the tanks, then let go. Oh, what a fucking balancing act. Grab the ground or risk bouncing out of control, but then let it go or risk ripping your limbs apart. He fought his own body on the way down, forcing the muscles to relax whenever they tensed through his growing terror. He knew the thing he proposed to do was dangerous. He'd nearly destroyed his arm learning that lesson while fleeing through the caves. Landing after such a long flight was best accomplished on the bounce. You had to allow yourself 3 or 4 good ones before you could finally grind to a halt. You needed those bounces to absorb the energy, to bleed it off. Then the cavern floor was upon him, and he snatched at it with the godskin like an old traveler yanking a steaming potato from the fire. Grab it, feel the tug, release it! The follow-through of his body pitched him forward hind over head, which he'd feared. But fearing it, the danger had been anticipated. He tucked his head down and rolled, and when each part of himself impacted rock, he snatched sharply at that rock with the melam. Shoulder, back, hip, thigh, calf, and back to feet. Every spare scrap pulling at the floor before ripping away like sodden hide glue. The speed of his tumble accelerated even as his momentum was consumed. Soon he was nearly blind, not through lack of sight, but by the speed at which hell spun out around him. It was all swirling arcs of blue and darkness, and sharp edges pulverizing his body. He screamed through grinding teeth, struggling to grasp the ground even harder, though it felt as if the skin would rip from his bones. Then he slammed against one of the tanks, his back flattening cruelly against black iron and driving the wind from his lungs. He fought to keep his chin tucked on impact, but the force of the collision was so great that the back of his head rang against the metal, touching off small bursts of color within his mind. For a moment, he only lay there, muscles completely seized and tightening further, driving away whatever meager sips of air still remained within. Suddenly, he was starved for air, panic-stricken, sucking in little gasps through tight lips, only to feel each gasp expelled right after by the vice tightening upon his chest. Now dizzy, he slewed to the right, slid off the tank, and clawed to his hands and knees. He kicked at the ground, clumsily at first, fighting with legs he'd forgotten how to use, then clawing with hands, now lurching on all four appendages. He realized his vision had narrowed down to a funnel and forced himself to suck in more air, though it tickled his gorge and threatened vomit. He bit down savagely upon these feelings, eating away at the ground with great scoops of his arms. Soon he was bounding forward again, still starved for breath but getting better, grunting, panting, spitting, and swearing. Only then did he permit himself the luxury of looking backward. He was surprised to discover that the Geffen thing was not there, or at least, if it was there, it was well hidden. "Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ing," he wheezed. Udo looked forward again and pulled at the ground with mounting confidence. He continued to use his hands as well as his feet. The practice afforded him greater speed. As he fled, he considered changing directions many times before finally coming to rest out of sight somewhere. "Find a cave," he told himself. But then he wondered if that was the best thing to do. His guide had seemed to know the cave systems quite well, and Udo had no doubt he would soon become hopelessly lost if he ventured too far within them. He shook his head. "Worry about that later. For now, just concentrate on shaking him." A dark pillar descended from above. It had the impression of roundness, like a spear shaft, and likewise ended in a point. But its length was such that it dwarfed the very tallest trees of Talam. It impacted the ground ahead, quivering his limbs and aching his joints, and chips of rock, ranging in size from baby's fingernails to full-grown oxen, exploded into the emptiness and disappeared beyond the void. The point had driven into the rock between a cluster of tanks. Many of these were jarred almost entirely from the ground. They leaned over and collided with each other, some breaking away and spinning off into the darkness along with the rubble. Udo glimpsed their tethers snapping apart. The ends belched white fire as they whipped soundlessly through the murk like beheaded snakes. The blue light of the tanks winked out for several rutin in all directions, leaving Udo in darkness. More impacts shivered the ground, this time with less intensity, as though they'd come from far off. With his eyes, Udo followed the curve of the pillar upward. It ended high overhead in a segmented joint, after which it turned inward and climbed even higher than before. He stood and turned, finding the others dispersed among the dead great distances away from his own location. Udo judged the furthest of these to be all the way on the other end of the valley, between the first and second circles. They were not hard to find. Each tip was punctuated by a pocket of darkness in a sea of blue souls. The pillars all grew toward each other as they climbed overhead. Udo followed them to the center, somewhere far above. There was a mass up there, hidden in shadow and writhing. He froze in a kind of horrified fascination, losing all sense of himself. He ceased to feel his own body, forgot to breathe, forgot even where he was or that he must flee. The thing above him filled his being to the brim so that there was no room left for Udo inside of Udo. There at the center of the twisting shadow, he saw a deep bruising of red, as in a low light that did little to illumine its surroundings. Then the center lowered, the supporting legs caving in as it descended toward the valley floor. And legs they were indeed, Udo suddenly realized. It was the Geffen Thing's watcher. It had finally come for him. Udo stared, still unable to move. He lay on his back, staring up into the belly of the creature suspended high overhead. It descended toward him. As it neared, Udo could make out more detail, but what he saw made no sense. It was a confused riot of motion, irregular curves and edges with some sort of shining liquid skin encapsulating the mass. It made Udo think of hundreds of fish eggs clustered together underwater, or the desiccated creatures suspended in the jars of Baldovinus's solar. It fell upon him from darkened sky, its many legs collapsing in like a dying spider as the body was lowered. He fought to kick away from it with legs that had fallen numb, heels digging furrows through the rock. Chips and pebbles skittered away as his feet slid uselessly. His jaw lengthened into a silent, frozen scream as it came down upon him. In his mind, he could think of only one thing clearly: escape. And his body failed him utterly. Tremors took him as his arms gave out, and he collapsed to his back. He lay there, floundering. The thing kept coming, descending through hell to find him, then it appeared to notice him. The body paused, shuddered, then dove straight at him like one of the falcons he'd dreamt of only a few moments before. The sides seemed to bulge wetly as it plummeted. A second later, something like a rope or tentacle erupted from the side, jetting slime clear across the field. It whipped out and lashed and twisted wildly like an animal newly born, then jerked, and the tip shot forth toward Udo while the serpentine length rippled behind. It halved the distance to him in the blink of an eye. Terror consumed and then jarred Udo loose so that he was finally able to flee. He rolled back over to his hands and feet. Just before he turned away, he saw the tip of that lash split into hundreds of smaller lashes, all spreading apart and reaching out for him. Then he was truly moving, eating up the ground in long feline leaps, arms extended, flying just over the surface, then landing upon outstretched hands, then feet digging into ground, then leaping forward again. His spine flexed like a willow whip. Despite the thing pursuing him, Udo wondered how his body would feel when this little chase was over, assuming he was still around after. His entire back, his legs, even the soles of his feet, tingled at the sense of that hateful titan rushing up behind him. As he fled, his eyes caught movement out to either side. He assumed it was the thing's many tentacles lashing out to ensnare him. He ground his teeth and dug harder with his legs, sacrificing control for flight. Soon he was careening off the sides of tanks. He tucked his left arm in like a broken wing and took one impact along the entire left side of his body, which buzzed numbly soon after. Bounded the next several rutin on a single arm, then crashed into another tank on the right side, nearly spinning himself fully around. He used the mistake to change directions, juking off to the right along the circle's arc. Somewhere off to the left, he felt the presence of that singular mighty leg pass behind him. For the space of a breath, Udo thought he could escape. His chest unclamped slightly, affording him another miserly dram of air, and he began to make plans for the next part of his escape. "Find a tunnel," he screamed at himself. Becoming lost within their depths was no longer of primary concern. He had to flee, had to escape the thing that was upon him. He would happily wander the caves of hell alone for the rest of his existence if only he could get away from that seeking, probing monstrosity. Something constricted around his ankle, sending an ice-cold shock up his leg and arching his back painfully through involuntary contraction. Udo shrieked and dug harder into the cavern floor, refusing to look back. He didn't need to look back. He knew it had him. He kicked out with his free leg, kicked against his own ankle until the trapped leg throbbed, then his lower half jerked as he felt his ankle release. He lurched forward again and was stopped again, this time by lashes around both ankles. His fingers clawed furrows through the scree, and he writhed and snarled. A moment later, he felt the coldness of the watchers bite upon his right elbow. He was turned over roughly, head bouncing along the ground, vision fading away, drifting, now back. It was over him. The entire dark and slimed pulsating mass had lowered over him like a bruised flesh sack, stretched near to bursting by the filth within. Another cold lash around his middle, and Udo could no longer feel his body below the hips. Now he was being lifted, and the straining, jellied skin split above him, separating in two pendulous flaps, dripping insides belching gases, and lights blinking on and off, mucus dripping from the edges and drifting slowly, lazily to the cavern floor. He was drawn further along the ground, leaning tanks scrolling by like silently staring witnesses, now empty of the souls they once contained. Udo stared into the nightmare. Every part of him had become locked under tension as options swirled through his mind. Fight, struggle, scream, pray, beg. It was as if each possible reaction screamed at him to be chosen, but he'd become impotent with terror. He stared unblinking into the quivering pit of its suspended body, breath seized, heart stopped, fight extinguished. From somewhere off to the right, a silver bolt licked out and collided with the thing's body in an explosion of debris. Its entire mass lurched to the side. Udo was dragged along with it. He felt his stomach twist around in response. It was as if he was falling again. Then another silver gleam arced across his field of view, and another, each time impacting the thing's body, blowing bits and pieces of it everywhere. For a moment, Udo was spellbound by the sight of quivering bits of reddish jelly trembling in the emptiness as they tumbled away. He twisted within the thing's grip to look down at the cavern floor. As he did, he saw a bright flash among the tanks. It flew upward in a silver blur like an arrow composed purely of light and ripped through the tentacles enwrapping Udo's body. Suddenly, he was pitched out into the darkness, quick glimpses of the watcher stumbling as he spun away. He tried to right himself, to twist his body in the ways necessary to leech energy from the spin, but the tumble was far too rapid. He saw dark flashes of blue tanks rushing to meet with him, replaced every moment with a struggling watcher, now receding further away into the darkness. Whatever was happening to it still seemed to be happening. He saw another sharp white line stretch out from the cavern floor and lance through the creature's body in the blink of an eye. Then he'd again turned toward the tanks, realized a moment later that he was upon the tanks, about to crash through the tanks. Udo held his breath and braced, wondering if all life would be crushed from his body upon landing. The last sensation he experienced before his senses departed was of being cradled by many hands.